Don't Call It Summer School. Up next on Teaching Gwinnett, how Gwinnett County Public Schools plans to help students brush up on what they learned this year while also exposing them to the curriculum they'll be taught in the fall. Explaining Gwinnett County Public Schools' innovative Summer Enrichment and Acceleration Program is next on Teaching Gwinnett. Welcome to Teaching Gwinnett, a Gwinnett County Public Schools podcast. I'm your host, Bernard Watson, and recently I sat down with Dr. Clay Hunter, Gwinnett County Public Schools Associate Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction, and we discussed summer enrichment and acceleration, the school district's new summer education program for students in grades kindergarten through eighth grade. This innovative program is designed to help students with the work they struggle with this year while also teaching them the content they will learn in the fall. The following is the audio recording of that conversation that took place live on GCPS TV. Take a listen. Hello and welcome to GCPS Talks, a Gwinnett County Public Schools production. I'm your host, Bernard Watson, and on today's show, we're going to discuss the district's plans for helping our students stay on track and get a jump start on next year's education curriculum. Now, this will not be a one-way conversation. No, we want and we welcome questions from you, the audience. All you have to do to get involved in this very important conversation is follow the URL that's right there on your screen. Or you can scan the QR code, which is also right there on your screen. And joining me now for this very important conversation about summer enrichment and acceleration is Dr. Clay Hunter, Gwinnett County Public Schools Associate Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction. Glad to have you.
Pleasure is all mine. I'm glad to be here.
The school district has made some changes to how it plans to educate students, and it starts with a new name, right?
Absolutely. Summer enrichment and acceleration. And let's focus on that term acceleration. What we want to do this summer and into the next school year is focus our students on making sure that they understand what they're about to learn, pre-exposing them, if you will, making sure that they have an opportunity to see the AKS that they're going to learn in the fall, focus on making sure that they understand those standards so that when they get into school in August, they're already familiar with our expectations in terms of learning.
And when will all this start?
So June 14th, that is when our summer enrichment and acceleration begins. It will last until July 2nd.
And what are the hours?
So students will be there from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
We talk about summer enrichment and acceleration. What is the difference between this year and what we've done in the past?
That's a great question. Usually what we do and what school districts across the state have done is summer school. And summer school is really has been focused on remediation. Students would take milestones exams, perhaps their grades were not where they needed to be. And so the emphasis on summer school was on catching those students up and then allowing for them to take a new administration of the milestones or to improve their grades, and then teams of teachers would meet in order to decide whether or not that student would be promoted. But this year, we have so many students all across the academic spectrum. They're all different types of needs that they have. And so our focus is shifting away from remediation to acceleration. By that we mean it's far easier to allow, for example, that rising fifth grader to be exposed to the fifth grade curriculum during the summer. Then we can really get a sense of where that student's gaps are and then work on closing those gaps both in the summer and into the fall.
Okay. So how do students sign up for this?
Sure. So teachers and schools have already started identifying students that we believe would be best served through our in-person summer enrichment and acceleration. We've gathered data all throughout this school year, taking a look at students' grades, their attendance, their engagement, if you will, and we compile those data to really give us a sense of those students that we feel need this extra support going into the summer.
This is for the students who need it, correct?
Well, while we do have a certain select group of students that we want to focus in and target for the in-person summer enrichment, we do have a digital option as well. So we have something for every student. The sign-up has already begun, and I want to encourage parents to be on the lookout for communication from their schools. It'll be a letter basically explaining this summer enrichment and acceleration opportunity and asking parents to sign their student up. But if we have a situation where a parent decides that they don't want that option, we're going to make it available to the next group of students on that list that we've compiled based on the data that we have.
So a question I'm sure a lot of parents out there might have is, how much is this going to cost?
So what's fantastic is that we have federal funding from the American Rescue Act, and we're going to be leveraging those funds in order to provide this free of charge.
Will transportation be offered?
It will.
Okay,
it will.
Great.
Now, I want to make sure that I caution parents and our community to know and understand that, again, this is why as soon as you get this notification from our schools, we really need for you to go ahead and let us know that you want your child to participate, because we have to very quickly turn that information around to our transportation department. We've got to be able to build bus routes to make sure that we can get students from their home to the school and back each day. And so we're starting, imagine now the timeline. June 14th is when we start. It takes a good bit of time for our transportation office to make sure they know all the students, they can figure out the bus routes, they can figure out the number of bus drivers we need in order for us to get students where they need to be to participate. First time that we will be providing this transportation, we're really excited about that.
What about food? Will students be able to get lunch?
Again, another great reason why parents need to let us know sooner rather than later. We will be providing breakfast and lunch.
Oh, great.
And so knowing the total number of students that are going to participate will really help to make sure that our school nutrition program is ready to provide nutrition for our students.
What about the cost?
Again, both transportation and the food, all of those costs are covered.
Who's going to be teaching these classes?
Our teachers. Bernard, I am so proud of our teachers. Think about all that they have been through over this last school year. Everything from having to rethink their lesson plans to the concurrent teaching where they were teaching students both in person and digitally. They have gone through a lot, not to mention their own safety concerns, et cetera. And to be honest with you, we were worried about whether or not teachers would be willing to extend their teaching, you know, right, the contribution that they've made into the summer. But I'm very, very proud to tell you that so far we have over 1,000 elementary teachers and close to 600 middle school teachers that have agreed to be part of this program. Now, to put that in perspective, in summers past, for example, 2019, before COVID, we supported about 7,000 students in both elementary and middle through summer school.
Wow.
At the current number of teachers, both elementary and middle, that we have available, we're going to be able to offer this support to over 25,000 students.
This is a Herculean task that we're pulling off here.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And so proud of our teachers for stepping up, given everything that they've been through, to say, yes, we believe in this. We know that this will work, and we're going to stand with our students. So grateful to them.
Will the students be able to get the same teacher that taught them this year?
No, not necessarily. Again, I mean, our teachers have done such great work. But, you know, they have summer commitments. They have family. They have obligations to, of course, their own children.
Right.
And so I don't think we're going to be able to get all 12,000 teachers to volunteer, not volunteer, because we will be compensating them, but to give of their time this summer. But you won't necessarily have the same teacher that you had this school year.
But it'll be excellent teachers either way, correct?
Absolutely. GCPS certified teachers,
okay,
without a doubt.
And what about class sizes?
So in order for this to work, in order for us to make sure that we can really pinpoint the needs of our students, we are focused on small group instruction. The idea is to make sure that in these small groups, we get a sense of what little Bernard needs, right?
Right.
Get a sense of where those gaps are and be able to give him personal attention. And so to do that, we really set the class size at 15-1.
Okay, that's great. Well, will specials and connections be offered?
So this is the other thing that's really, really exciting, and it goes back to your question, what's different? In addition to this academic support, we're going to be offering opportunities for math and language arts support in elementary, but also social studies and science along with math and language arts in the middle school.
Okay.
So in addition to that academic support, we really want to focus on the whole student. Mm-hmm. So not only do we have acceleration, but we have enrichment. So schools are building a summer schedule that will allow for the academic support, but also enrichment in STEM, fine arts, and even social emotional learning.
Well, will counseling and other services be available to students?
So you are way ahead of me. Going back to the point I made about the social emotional learning, our counseling department has been working on lesson plans that they're developing, and then they're going to train our staff so that, again, our students will be in the school, they'll learn their math, they'll learn their science, but they'll also be able to rotate through in some instances and go into an enrichment class focused on social emotional learning, where we're going to be able to really get a sense of where their anxieties are, mental health challenges that they may be having, and make sure that we're supporting them, not just in terms of academics, but also their mental health.
Will special education services be available to students?
We are planning on offering support to our special ed students. Now, we're going to do that in two ways. For parents who believe and know, and schools have been working on this, that their student needs support relative to their IEP, we will be offering extended school year like we've done in the past. But in those instances where we believe that the right intervention is the previewing of the AKS, we are going to offer the opportunity for our special education students, or students who are served through special education, to participate in this summer enrichment and acceleration.
Okay, let's say I'm a parent and my student receives ESOL services. Will those be available?
Absolutely. We are designing the lesson plans to make sure that built into the lesson plans are opportunities for intervention for our students who are served through special education and our students who are served through ESOL.
Okay. Will every school have summer school at?
There are only a few exceptions. We have a few schools that are doing some major construction work, less than a handful. And in those instances, our schools will be combining in order to make sure that we support students from across maybe one or two schools. But okay. It's due to the construction, and we want to make sure that the schools are ready to go in the fall.
So if I'm a student, I'm having some trouble with summer school or summer enrichment and acceleration, and I need some extra help, are there tutors available?
This is another thing we're really excited about. We have a premier institution of higher learning in Gwinnett called Georgia Gwinnett College. Mm-hmm. And what's great is many of the students at Georgia Gwinnett College are GCPS students. And many of them are choosing to go into education. So they're actually in the School of Education. We're actually partnering with Georgia Gwinnett College's School of Education, and we will be hiring those students who are in the School of Education to act as tutors in our classrooms, an extra pair of eyes and ears and hands in order to support our students. We're going to be paying them, paying these college students to do this work. So we're excited about that. We think they're going to be excited as well.
That's super exciting. Is this something that we're doing for the first time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay. And here's what's really great. So we're going to have these students come back. We're going to train them. So they will receive training on the lesson plans and on the instructional methods, et cetera. They're going to be used to, like I said before, to be the extra pair of hands so that we can really support students with that small group instruction. And in addition to that, we now have laid the groundwork for them to come back and work for Gwinnett County Public Schools when they graduate.
That's sweet. So they get a little taste of how great it is, and they'll want to come back and join us.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, what about background checks? They're going to be done on these tutors?
They are going to be done. We're going to make sure safety is, of course, our first priority. So, yes, background checks will be done on these students from Georgia, Gwinnett College.
In the schools, right, during summer enrichment and acceleration, will masks be required?
Safety, again, is our first priority. We are not out of the clear with this COVID crisis that we have been facing. So the same mitigation practices that we had during the school year, we will be practicing during summer enrichment and acceleration.
Okay. And up to this point, our conversation has really been focused on in-person, summer enrichment and acceleration. But there's an alternate version as well, correct?
That's right. We do know that there will be some parents who will not opt for the in-person. We also know that there's a chance we might not be able to get every student into the in-person. So we have designed digital summer acceleration as well. And what we're going to do there is we have partnered with one of our learning partners called ClassWorks. ClassWorks has been working with us to design lesson plans that are specific to the AKS. Mm-hmm. And the focus, again, will be on acceleration. So students will be able to get online. They'll be able to load their lessons. The lessons will be self-paced, and they will focus on the AKS that those students will need to learn in the next coming school year. Assessments will be built in, but we also are going to make sure that we have monitors who are available to do several things. One would be if there are technical supports that students or parents need, the parents will be able to connect with these monitors who will help with any technical support. In addition to that, we'll be monitoring, as is in the title of the work, the students' progress. And where we see where students may not be engaged, we plan on reaching out to parents and students to remind them of this opportunity and make sure that they're focused on completing the lessons that are part of the digital learning.
And that's a key component right there. So parents need not worry that their son or daughter could just be logging on and nobody's watching what they're doing.
That's
we're going
right.
to be engaged in that.
Absolutely.
But we also want to encourage parents to be engaged, to monitor and encourage their student to attend and be diligent with their work as well, right?
Exactly. We really want to be good faith partners in this. And look, we know how difficult digital learning can be. So we're going to do our best to make sure we provide the supports necessary so students can be successful.
Will the work be the same as in-person as it is for digital?
Yes. Now, you know, we have learned that digital and in-person are not the same. That's why we're really excited about getting our students back into the classroom. But we have done our best to tightly align the learning that's going to happen for the digital students with the learning that's going to happen in person. So, so for example, the AKS that are going to be previewed for our in-person students will be the same AKS that will be previewed for our digital students.
So if I'm a parent, you know, I'm technologically challenged, uh-huh. right? I might need some help. How can I get that help?
Yes, well, that will be part of the work of the monitor. So not just the academic support, but also technical support where necessary.
Okay. Well, we've spent a lot of time, you and I, talking and answering questions. You've been answering my questions, but I think we want to get some questions from the audience.
Absolutely.
So do we want to take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll answer some of the questions we've gotten from the audience. So stick with us.
They say it takes a village to raise a child. The GCPS Foundation takes that to heart. Our goal is to provide support for every student and teacher in Gwinnett County through grants, scholarships, and more. We want to improve student achievement and empower the teachers who make it happen. To believe in the promise of Gwinnett is to be a part of it. We ask for your support. Be a part of the present. Be a part of the future. The future starts here. Make your donation today.
Well, Welcome back. I'm joined again by Dr. Clay Hunter, Gwinnett County Public Schools Associate Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction. And we're talking about summer enrichment and acceleration. And as we've been discussing throughout the show, we want to hear from the audience. We're asking you to submit some questions, and we will get to as many of those questions as possible. And if you want to submit a question, just look on your screen right there. The URL is right there on your screen, as well as a QR code, which you can scan. So let's go to a question that we got from the audience, and that question is, Dr. Hunter, can my child attend even if I don't get a letter?
The answer is yes. Now, what I want to caution parents on is what schools have done is they've taken the total number of teachers that are there, right? They've done the 15-to-1 ratio, and they've said, okay, here's how many students we can provide this support to. And so they then identify the total number of students in their school that they can support, and then sent out letters to that first group of students. But, you know, there's a good chance that the parents of those students have other plans. And so that's when schools will then begin to identify a new group of students in order to fill those spots. And we'll keep going down the list of students until we make sure that we have filled every spot. So I do want to encourage parents to reach out, get a sense of sort of where they are, if you will, on the waiting list, for lack of a better term, because we want to make sure we fill every spot.
And we have another question from the audience, and I think you may have touched on this a little earlier. Will all schools be hosting summer enrichment and acceleration, or are only certain schools providing this opportunity?
No, this will be open to all of our elementary and middle schools. And the only exceptions will be the handful of schools that have construction work going on. Let me also take a point of privilege to say that I've left out our high schools, but I wanted to tell you that with high schools, the focus is just a little bit different. The focus is on credit recovery and on making sure that those students are on track to graduate from high school. And so in many ways, the high school work will be very traditional. And high schools have been working on and are still working on making sure that students that need that traditional summer school are there. But important to note that we're using the American Rescue funds in order to cover the cost for high school credit recovery as well. So we're really excited about that.
Okay, here's an interesting question from an audience member. If your student cannot attend each week due to prior engagements, will that student still be allowed to attend? Is it an all or nothing participation event?
It's going to be really, really difficult the way we've set this up for parents to piecemeal this together, because each lesson that covers the 15 days builds upon the other lesson. And there are assessments that we're doing all along the way. And so it's going to be really, really difficult for students to get the most out of this learning if they're not maximizing the entire 15 days. 15 days is not a lot of time
as it is.
And I'll just tell parents that, you know, I'm sure there are those who are out there who are saying, well, why not the entire summer? Well, A, we've got to keep in mind the workload of our teachers and keep in mind that along with that, in terms of the work that our great teachers have been doing over the fall, we actually have summer learning for our teachers in July to make sure that they're equipped with the skills necessary to get us ready to close these learning gaps as soon as we possibly can. So we're working 12 months out of the year here in Gwinnett, and that's the only reason why we need to limit it to these 15 days. So long story short, we really, 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 really want to encourage parents to leverage the entire 15 days.
Work never stops.
Absolutely.
Okay. If my child does not need the enrichment, but I want them in this program, will we have an opportunity to register for the program?
Well, I appreciate that question, and I appreciate the enthusiasm in it, yes. So again, what's different from this program is this is not about remediation. We truly do believe every student should have the opportunity to participate in the enrichment. Of course, we're limited in space by the total number of teachers, but I just want to remind parents in the larger community, we have the potential to be able to provide this support to, as opposed to 7,000 students in 2009, over 25,000 students this summer. So we hope and believe that we'll have space available. But to go back to the question, We are going to take a look at the students that we believe need it first, based off of the data that we see, and keep going down the list. And our hope is that we will get all of the parents that want this opportunity and have the time available to offer it. We hope to get all of those students into this summer enrichment opportunity.
And we're getting a question about the acceleration part of the program in terms of, you know, is this going to be something that really challenges students, or are they going to be feeling like they're repeating
what they learned already? Yes, great question. Again, the second part of that question goes back to what we used to do, mm-hmm. right? So what we used to do, you might have had a student who said, I already learned this. Mm-hmm. You know, why do I have to learn it again? But in this instance, these are the AKS that students have not yet learned. That rising second grader that is going to, who's in the first grade now, will be pre-exposed to second grade curriculum. That rising third grader will be pre-exposed now or exposed to third grade curriculum, right? That rising fifth grader who is in the fourth grade now, they're going to see the fifth grade curriculum this summer.
That's awesome. Well, what happens if your child is not invited, but you feel that they should have been?
Well, two things. One is if there's space available, if we have students whose parents don't want them to participate, we're going to keep moving down the list.
That's right.
But secondly, that is why we've also designed the digital component as well. And we've tightly aligned the digital opportunity with the in-person opportunity.
The questions keep coming in, and we want to encourage you, if you haven't submitted one yet and you have a question, please do so. The URL is right there on your screen, and you can also scan the QR code. So let's go to another question. What is the curriculum for the summer, and is there a grading system and exams? Will the students have homework too?
Great question. So the curriculum, or what we want students to know and be able to do in Gwinnett County Schools, are our academic knowledge and skills, and that won't change this summer. Our CNI team is busy developing lesson plans based on our academic knowledge and skills. So I want to emphasize the fact that what the students will be learning this summer, they will now get a chance to feel really, really comfortable with as they move into the fall. It'll be one of those moments where they'll say, well, no, I remember this. And what the research tells us is that when students feel confident and comfortable with the standards, that's when they excel. So just want to make sure that I emphasize that point.
So in essence, what you're saying is, I'm using some of the language of the younger folks, that, you know, with the students who go through the summer enrichment and acceleration, they can walk into school maybe with a little bit of extra swagger, knowing that, hey, I know a little bit of this stuff, so I'm going to be prepared. You know, so that's what it's about.
And that's really the model that Gwinnett County is taking. That's the approach that we're going to focus on across the school year relative to the gaps, the learning gaps that we know have been created. Again, the research tells us that when you attempt to retain or remediate, that is not as effective as exposing students to the standards, helping them understand what they're expected to learn, and then shoring up the support based off of where they may fall short in terms of what we expect for them to do.
Okay.
That's when students rise to the challenge.
Okay. So if my son or daughter is transitioning from elementary school to middle school, will he or she go to the summer program at the elementary school or to the middle school?
Yeah, so three big transition points. Rising children who are going into kindergarten will be taught by kindergarten teachers. So, you know, I was pre-K this year, mm-hmm. now I'm going into kindergarten, we'll have kindergarten teachers there. Rising sixth grade students will actually go to our middle school. Okay. They will get a chance to walk the halls of the middle school, get accustomed to that middle school,
right.
and be taught by sixth grade teachers who will help them with that transition. Really, really looking forward to, again, this shift in thinking.
What is GCPS doing to bridge the gap between concepts that students are still struggling with before they transition to the next grade level?
So, beautiful question. So, the way we've designed the lessons, and this goes back to why the 15 days are so important. The way we've designed the lessons is that on day one, little Bernard is going to come in and we're going to get a sense of that fourth grade content that he's been going through this school year.
Okay.
Right? and then slowly but surely build from those foundational, from the what he learned in fourth grade to the foundational AKS that he needs to know and understand for fifth grade. You know, our curriculum is not in isolation. There are connections between the standards from one school year to the next. And so what we've done is we've gone back and we've looked at the things that we believe are foundational or essential, if you will, that are the foundational building blocks for the learning that the student will do during the school year. And so it will be those foundational blocks that we will focus on during the summer learning. But yes, we will start with the AKS that they have been learning this year, and then transition them into what we expect for them to know next year.
Will students receive credit for summer enrichment?
Okay, so it's not necessarily credit that they will receive. What's going to happen is that first, the students will, like you said, have that confidence, that swagger, if you will, having been exposed. But the other thing is, we are going to be doing small doses of assessment along the way. We're not planning on making this one test after another, because we want to make sure that this is an engaging experience for our students. So students will learn a little, and then we'll test a little.
Okay.
Learn a little, yeah, and then test a little. And then we're going to take those data, and what will happen is we're going to give that information to that student's teacher for the next year.
Okay.
So we'll have some sense starting in the fall of where that student is, so we don't have to guess on day one. We'll know exactly where that student is and begin to provide support first day of school.
Okay, so here's an interesting question. A viewer wrote in, we moved and we're planning to change schools within Gwinnett County Public Schools. Will we be able to participate in this program?
Absolutely, yeah. We plan on offering this opportunity across all of our elementary and middle schools across the district.
Okay, and again, folks, if you're watching and you have a question you want to submit, go right ahead. The URL is right there on your screen, as well as the QR code. Another question. My daughter has been digital all year. I'm concerned about her social emotional well-being. Can she attend in person, although she is thriving academically?
Well, there are different definitions of thriving. So, you know, this is not about us trying to cut students off or cut students out. And also, so if there's space available, and again, I go back to the idea that the only thing that really limits our space is the number of teachers for the in-person. But again, I want to applaud the over the 1,000 teachers who stepped up, close to 600 teachers that have stepped up. And so I also want to reiterate that for those students that are going to be involved in this learning, that part of that enrichment will be the social emotional support that we know that students need.
Can rising kindergartners attend virtually?
You know, right now we've really, really focused on in person. You know, there's so much that goes into kindergarten, and it's really more than just the academics. It's really getting them acclimated to the environment. Will we offer support for our kindergarten students digitally? Absolutely. Not only do we have the summer enrichment acceleration work that we've done, but we do plan on relaunching what we call the Learning Hub. And in that space, parents will be able to access all sorts of digital resources in order to support their child throughout the school year, including really great resources for rising kindergarten students.
And we got a question about class sizes, and as I recall, you said 15.
15 right? to 1 is what we really feel like is a good teacher to student ratio.
Okay. And let's see if we have another question. Do we have another question from our audience? How have the first round of letters already been sent out?
Yes. Schools have already been reaching out to parents in order to notify them about this opportunity.
And you're encouraging them to respond right away.
Yes.
We've been talking about how there's only a limited number, you know, of spots, right?
Right, and you can see where, as part of these questions, Bernard, there are parents who are willing to take that spot if necessary.
So no question.
Please, 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 if you get that communication, please reach out to your schools. Make sure you get your students signed up.
question about the time in school,
8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay, great. Another question. Who sends the invitation? Is there a contact person or number?
Yes. So each school is responsible for identifying the students and then also sending out that information to parents to let them know. So it would be best to reach out to your local school in order to find out more about their process for getting that information out to school, to parents.
These are great questions, folks. Keep them
Absolutely,
coming.
Yes.
A lot of important information we want to share with you so you have all your options there and available to you so you can make the best informed decision.
Mm-hmm.
What supports will be in place for upcoming kindergarten students who have not experienced formal schooling before?
So again, every time we talk about kindergarten, I'm going to start with this. Please register your child for kindergarten. Mm-hmm. We need them to come on back into the fold. The second thing is the kindergarten readiness entry profile. We want to take some time to provide an opportunity for our students to play with us. And in playing with us, to talk about the colors that they may know and to talk about the letters that they may know and to give us a sense of their understanding of how to work with others, even helping us understand if they know how to use a pair of scissors. So the first thing we want to do is make sure that we provide this opportunity to get a sense of where our kindergarten students are. The next thing I want to say is in the Rising K Academy, the emphasis will be on talking with students, working with students on those skills that they need to know and understand in order to be an independent student in kindergarten. So that's going to be our emphasis, as well as some of the academic pieces that we want students to be able to know and be able to do as little as five.
Okay. Social emotional learning, big topic, a lot of attention on it. Will the support for that be available?
Yes. Again, our counseling department is doing a fantastic job of developing lesson plans, and we're going to offer training for our teachers. And through our enrichment, we want to make sure that students get an opportunity to address their issues, their anxieties, their concerns, et cetera, and to learn how to address those on their own,
sure,
if you will. But also to make sure that there's a listening ear, that they know that throughout this school year and moving forward, as we've always done, but we realize we need to double down and reinforce the work that we do to make sure that our students feel safe mentally and socially.
You mentioned a little bit there about some of the training that's going on. What other types of instructional training are being offered this summer to prepare teachers for next year?
Yeah, you know, that gets back to the question around why can't you go the whole school year? So in the month of July, we do what are called summer institutes for our teachers. And we have a heavy dose of support that we'll be providing on several fronts, but I'm going to highlight the work that we're doing around cultural responsive teaching. We launched this starting this school year, and we're going to continue this work in making sure that our teachers, that our staff know our children, know and understand their journey, know their background, know their experiences, know what sort of assets they bring to our school and to the classroom, and to learn how to appreciate those assets. And so We're really excited about the work that we're going to continue to be doing around cultural responsive teaching, as well as the social emotional support that we'll be providing.
Well, what tips or advice would you offer students who have been digital learners this year to be most prepared for the return to in-person learning in August?
Well, I think the first thing is what I would tell any parent, regardless of their digital or in-person setting. I'm going to ask students to do a lot of reading. I'm going to ask them to practice in any particular area that they are comfortable in or that they aspire in or that they are excited about. In other words, if your passion is science, spend time in science this summer, just enjoying the curriculum, the standards, if you will, the knowledge that you love. Now, here I want to turn that question on its head and present an opportunity, if you will, to our parents. I think the number one thing our parents can do is ask students why. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to know the answer to the question, but if you're engaged in conversations with students where you're challenging them to explain what they know, to articulate why they enjoy what they've learned, and challenging them perhaps with a different point of view. Those are the things that we can do each and every day for our students. And again, even if you don't know the content, you can fake it.
Yeah.
With just a, why? I don't understand. Explain that to me now. Wait. I heard something different. You know, and it's through that prompting that if we can get our students to think about their learning, think about what they're reading, think about what they're engaged in, challenging them to defend their position, that's really what's going to help them when they move into the next school year.
Okay, here's a question. What about students that do need grade recovery to meet promotion criteria?
So we're going to be leveraging summer enrichment and acceleration for that as well. And our schools are hard at work having some very, very tough conversations around the right way to intervene on the part of our students. So there are conversations we're having around retention and promotion, but they're a very different conversation than we've had in the past. You know, in the past, we had a body of data that we could use and rely on and know, you know what, this student may need to stay back. But we're gonna have to be very, very careful about retention this year, because the research is very clear that in some instances, it is very difficult for students to recover from that retention. And we don't want to create a situation where we have thousands of students that are being retained. Again, that's why our focus is on acceleration. That's why we're going to focus on using the assessment data over those 15 days to really get a sense of the support that we need to then provide as we move into the next school year. And I want to make this point as well. This work around intervention relative to acceleration is not just the 15 days. This is not a one and done. This is really about supporting our students through acceleration throughout the school year. It's about making sure that we're responding to their needs throughout the school year. It's gonna require us to look at school a lot different, to look at opportunities for intervention during the school day, perhaps during Saturday schools, which we've been doing. So we're gonna have to take a long-term approach to providing students with the support they need to get them back on track, instead of just looking at the here and now in terms of where students are.
We're gonna take a quick break, but when we return, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Hunter. Stay with us.
The GCPS Parent Portal. New look, new feel, new function. With easy access in one go-to location, the updated Parent Portal is your one-stop destination for student information. The Parent Portal offers 24/7 access to student grades, assignments, and teacher communications. It's your direct line to the classroom and is available in multiple languages. For more information, check with your local school.
We're back to continue our conversation with Dr. Hunter about summer enrichment and acceleration.
So we want to thank everybody for tuning in from the top of the show, but some folks might be just joining us right now and are coming in sort of the middle of our conversation. So let's go back a little bit and get to the basics again about when is all this starting, the length of the day. So to sort of catch some people up who maybe missed the beginning part.
Absolutely. So June 14th to July 2nd, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., summer enrichment and acceleration. Again, I want to emphasize the focus on acceleration. We will be previewing next year's AKS for our students to get them comfortable with those standards so that when they walk into that classroom in the fall, they can say, you know what, I'm familiar with this, I know this. And relative to enrichment, the opportunity, we want to provide an opportunity for our students to not just get academic support, but to get support in the areas of fine arts, STEM, social-emotional learning, physical education.
Okay, and again, if you missed those dates, they're right there on your screen, June 14th to July the 2nd, correct? 8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Absolutely.
And let's see if we get another question from the audience. Will this improve the achievement gaps in GCPS, and how will you measure it?
Yeah, so first of all, the measurement tool that we're using during the summer will be the assessments that we'll be doing along the way. Now, when we get back into school, we have, as you know, a battery of assessments that we use. This year we've been using common unit assessments, but we hope to go back to our district assessments in order to get a district-wide view of where our students are so we can respond accordingly as a district to be able to provide intervention. But equally important will be the assessments that our teachers will be leveraging in order to get a sense of where students are. So the point to be made here is that, and I can't say this enough, this is not a one and done. As our students get back into school, and when we talk about closing the achievement gap, this is really about us making sure that we think innovatively about how we're going to do school. And making sure that we are, as we identify students with a gap, that we move quickly to support that student through small group instruction to get them back on track.
Now, we also mentioned, again, going back a little bit, that the letters have already been sent out to parents. And if they haven't gotten there yet, they should check their mailbox, correct?
Absolutely.
And maybe call the school?
Absolutely.
And if they have not gotten a letter, call the school, best option?
Yep, best option. Don't want to bombard the schools. I know they've got a lot going on. But just know that they're moving systematically through the list. So, you know, they're sending out information to parents now. If a parent opts out, decides, you know what, I don't have the time or the space to be able to do the in-person, they're going to keep moving down the list that we've provided for them and then they've been working on to identify the students they believe can best be served in in-person. And don't forget, we will have the digital option as well.
Okay. And one more time, can you explain the initial qualifications for the program?
Sure. So to do the we've got support for all,
right.
But for the in-person, we've really been looking at the student that has struggled with engagement, they've struggled with their grades, they've struggled with attendance. Those are the students that we've been looking at. Teachers who believe through their interaction with their students throughout the school year that they would best be served through the in-person. Those are some of the criteria that we are using to guide the decision. But it is not a one-size-fits-all. It's not a line in the sand that we're drawing. You know, we've got to be really, really nimble because there are a lot of different factors that have gone into whether students have or have not been able to succeed.
Okay, we have another question too from the audience. This audience member said that their letter was in English and the neighbor had to read it to them. So how do they get a letter in other languages?
Yes, so we do have letters in multiple languages. And so we'll have to sort of find out exactly why they may have gotten a letter in English and instead of their language of choice. But when the letters were given out, we did make sure that we had them translated for schools. So we'll definitely look into that and make sure that we provide the language support that we know our parents need.
If somebody's interested in being a part of this, and is there a waiting list? How can they call about that or get, maybe not call, but how can we find out about if there's a waiting list or?
Schools don't have necessarily a waiting list. What they have is a process. And that process really involves getting information out to those students that they feel like would best be served through the in-person, and then just simply going through that list. So I would not call it a waiting list. They're moving as quickly as they possibly can, schools are, to identify those students and then get the word out to parents.
I want to go back and touch on a couple other things that we touched on earlier in the show, just about tutoring. Like, we have tutors now. That's a big addition, that a great partnership we have as well, right?
Yeah, and that's going to offer the opportunity, like I said before, to support more students than we ever have before. So those Georgia Gwinnett College students will be in the classrooms. They'll be able to actually provide that support to those 15 or so students to really make sure that we're providing as close to as possible the individual attention that we know our students need.
Of course, background checks are going to be done on those tutors.
Absolutely.
And again, we talked about how it's a double benefit because these aspiring teachers are getting a sort of early taste, and we hopefully will be seeing a lot of them come through our doors down the road, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Another question. Is the digital option all or nothing? Can we do it as we have time available?
Yes. The digital option is self-paced. Students can get on, work as much as they want to, stop, and then they'll be able to pick right back up with the lessons.
But there are also going to be things in place to make sure monitoring the situation.
Yes,
correct?
We will have monitors in place. And so if we have a situation where we have a student who, you know, they were engaged and now they're not as engaged, we plan on reaching out in order to ask, hey, is there any way we can help?
That's right.
In order to get that student reconnected with the digital learning.
So we want to encourage parents to tell their student that,
yes,
as well. So
yes,
we're watching. So another question. Can rising first graders in the DLI program, dual language immersion program, can they attend summer enrichment?
So I want to be clear. This program is not focused on our really fantastic dual language immersion. So what that parent may be used to relative to the dual language immersion experience won't be happening in summer enrichment. But yes, of course, we would hope that rising first grader will attend that summer enrichment and get exposed to the first grade curriculum that they will experience in the fall.
And we have another question concerning, you know, this viewer has a fifth grade student who ended up taking part in the program. Do they attend the elementary or the middle school version?
So they're a fifth grader right now. They're a rising sixth grader, and they will go to the middle school.
Okay. Do we have another question from the audience? Can my child attend another summer site different from the assigned location?
That's going to be difficult because I want you to remember that it's the individual schools that are identifying the students, reaching out to them. And it's the individual schools that are doing that based off of the total number of teachers that they have available. So we've got to be really, really careful because some schools will have 20 teachers available. Other schools will have 15 teachers available.
Okay. Again, letters to parents are going out now. So we have a question, which you'll address that question right now, but how do I know if my daughter is going to be able to attend, or how will they know if they're going to be asked to attend? And this would really help her daughter who will start the third grade. How will they know?
Yeah, first of all, appreciate the comment at the end. Thank you for the faith that you have in the work that we're doing. And as I mentioned before, schools are using data reports. Mm-hmm. And as they use those data reports to identify the students that we feel like would most benefit from the in-person, they are reaching out. And then as we have parents that may or may not take us up on this opportunity, they're going to keep moving down that list and finding the students until we have a full house of students based on the total number of teachers that we have available.
Okay, well, we have one final question from our audience. What about kids coming into kindergarten in 2021?
All right, I want to say it again. Register, register, register. Secondly, really, really excited about the Rising K Academy. 3 weeks of support and instruction that we'll be providing in each of our elementary schools across the district. We want our parents to be involved. We want them to be connected. Just another fair warning, the size, if you will, or the amount of students that we'll be able to take on will be based on the total number of kindergarten teachers available. But I am really, really proud of our teachers who are stepping up to make themselves available to provide this support to our students and their families this summer.
Dr. Hunter, you've been really generous with your time. We really appreciate you being here, answering questions and telling us about this exciting program that we're going to have, Summer Enrichment and Acceleration. And we want to thank you, the audience, as well, for tuning in and asking questions and learning about this program. And if you submitted a question, but that question wasn't answered, Don't worry. You can go and find the answers to your questions. So all you have to do is go to our website.
And that website is gcpsk12.org/summerschool. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Teaching Gwinnett. You can find us on the GCPS home webpage, Google Play Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and just about anywhere podcasts can be found. Please subscribe. Until next time, so long.